poinsettias. We still have a Christmas tree if anybody wants to help get that out of here eventually. How about colors? See anything different with colors? Altar cloth is now green. Right, green. It's going to be green for a while now. In the church here, we tend to mark time, through some different ways. And right now, we're after Advent, we're after Christmas, we're after Epiphany, we're in ordinary time. Ordinary. Doesn't that sound boring? No. There's nothing ordinary with God, right? Ordinary time. So, just this past week, someone was saying, this time next month, we'll be saying, it's almost March. We're progressing through winter, one frozen pipe at a time. We mark the days in chronological time, right? Where tomorrow we have something that we're going to do. This time next week, you're going to be right back here with your neighbors and friends because you invited them to come to church, right? We have ordinary tasks of life that we do day to day. In our house, it's get up, turn on the coffee water, let the dogs out, get the fires going, see what's not frozen, try to move forward with the morning. We have the same process. Get everybody ready for school, people that have to leave do. There's something really comforting about that type of step-by-step lineal time, that chronos time, measured by a clock. But it can also feel really burdensome. Sometimes we get stuck in that kind of time and we say, ugh, another day, like that previous one. It's almost like living in Groundhog Day, if you've seen that movie. Life is filled with problems, challenges, hurts, pain, habits, things that seek to derail us and destroy us, and then there's all these unfulfilled dreams and tasks and things that remain, and we feel like we're never going to finish it. Chronological time can be comforting, but it can also be a big burden. And it's comforting to know that that's not the only time that Scripture talks about. Several months ago now, the leadership from Brownsville Community Church went on a retreat. And we had a chance to step out of our usual habits and patterns and schedule and just focus on worshiping the Lord, praying together as leadership, and trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying. And we learned about a different kind of time that's in Scripture besides Chronos time, and that's Kairos time. And that is where God interrupts our lineal flow of time with some revelation, something where God breaks in and we go, that's out of the ordinary. God is doing something. It's at that moment that we have the opportunity to do something with that. God gives us that gift of Kairos time, that moment filled with a lot of meaning, or that moment when something new is given, when some perhaps life-changing thing happens. It could be a big thing, it could be something that's small, but sometimes these moments are a turning point in our lives. They're a place where we have some incredible clarity with God. And we were going in this direction, and now God has course corrected. And we're going with him in this direction now. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, it says, and this is Jesus beginning his ministry. He's baptized, right? The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. We talked about that. And immediately, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness and he's tempted by Satan. And then right after that, Mark picks up and says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe the gospel. So there's some key things right there that I want to just help us identify so we can recognize them, because they're going to help us to recognize that Kairos moment when God breaks into our lives. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So this is Jesus coming into Galilee, right? Here comes Jesus. He shows up. He's bringing the kingdom of God with him. People are about to have an interaction that is outside of their normal lives, outside of their normal chronos time or their normal daily life and work. Jesus is coming. The kingdom of God is showing up. What are you going to do about it? What Jesus says is repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. Course correct and follow. That's the pattern. And as Christians, it's really important for us to learn to listen to God, to how he is leading, to identify these times when God is speaking in this way. Because that's the way that we will be able to follow the Lord. The Lord invites us into fellowship with him and invites us into his process and path and work. And we don't want to miss that invitation. So today's gospel lesson is a big Kairos moment by this definition, okay? Let's take a look at it together one more time, all right? On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. So the disciples are there, right? They're about to see this thing that's about to occur, okay? Disciples are there. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Basically saying, "Okay, come on, fix this. I know you can." And, you know, we can't see Jesus' face right there. Maybe there was a holy eye roll. I don't know. Woman! What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And then his mother, with this knowing look on her face, probably, looks at the servants and says to them, "Do whatever he tells you." I love this. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. So that's a fair amount of water. You know, that's quite a bit. And Jesus says to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. The master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Right now, the servants are going, "Wow, something just happened." They might not be able to understand it yet, but they know that something amazing just took place. Master of the feast calls the bridegroom and says to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. You can see how what happened in Cana fits in with how the kingdom of God breaks in, and then we have a choice. Like, you know, the servants could have been like, whatever, you know. We don't really know what happened, but it wasn't God. It was coincidence. Or the disciples, you know, could have said they pulled a fast one and switched it in the back room, you know, and disbelieved. And accuse Jesus of being a musician a magician or something like that. But they didn't, right? So their response is that they believe. The kingdom of God came near. It broke into their lives. They saw something amazing. They believed. And in seeing something happen, do you think they might have had faith in the next miracle that Jesus was going to do? Do you think they might have been thinking, now I have an attitude of expectation of what this guy is going to do? They might not have identified him yet as the Messiah, but they knew that they were following somebody who was bringing the kingdom of God with them. That's really quite an amazing thing. So this water becomes wine, and it's not just any old wine. This is not Boone's Farm, which some of you might be familiar with from years ago. This is a new kind of wine that is used at the beginning of the feast rather than at the end. It's the first sign of Jesus that reveals his glory and that shows the presence of God and the power of God shining out of him and through him. It's a kairos moment. The extraordinary breaks into the ordinary, and we have to decide what we're going to do with it. So I want to talk with you just for a few minutes about our kairos moment, because it would be really good for us as a church family to be able to begin understanding how we hear God and how we follow God in terms of identifying where the kingdom of God is breaking into our lives personally and into our life as a church family. So I've got a couple of things up on that I added to the PowerPoint. So there's the Gospel from Mark, chapter 1. Okay, we can go to the next slide there. So if we believe that God speaks to us just as he did in the days of Scripture, right? He's not stopped talking to us. As followers of Jesus, it is our task to learn to listen and to respond to him. It doesn't just happen on Sunday morning, showing up when it's too cold to stay in your house and come to church, right? So these kairos moments are points in time that God uses to get our attention about something. So we're going to look at something that the leadership of the church looked at called the Learning Circle, and it just helps us to identify what God is saying to us and helps us to take the next step. So we don't just look at Jesus turning the water into wine and go, wow, that was cool, now I got to go feed the donkeys. And we go right back to daily life. We look at what God has done, and it course corrects us. So we could go to the next one here. Must have had it out of order. Go ahead, jump one more. Yep, there we go. So, we've got this horizontal line with an arrow. That's the chronos time, right? That's us getting up in the morning, having coffee, or whatever it is that we do, our daily life and work, our rituals of life, just heading off in any direction. And then at that X, that's where God breaks in. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. It interrupts us. It jumps in the middle of our plans, and it makes us pick our heads up and go, ooh, what's that? And so we have the repent on one side and the believe on the other. As far as repenting indicates a change of direction. The word in Greek is metanoia. It's similar to the metamorphosis word that we have for when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. What was isn't what is now. The old person is gone. The new is coming. Because the kingdom of God has broken in, we're changed forever. So when the kingdom of God breaks in and we go, God is getting my attention, we observe it, we're like, oh, look at that. And so many of us stop right there. We observe, and then we let it go, and we keep on going with our plans, because we're not going to let the Holy Spirit interrupt our plans. But we have the opportunity to consider it a little deeper and to reflect and say, I wonder what God is doing in my life right now that this is interrupting me and what I was doing. Maybe I should discuss it with another brother or sister in Christ and get some more wisdom on how to understand what God is doing. And then we get to the place where, okay, now what am I going to do about it? You've heard me say a number of times, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you and what are you going to do about it, right? You're probably tired of hearing me say it. On the belief side, maybe plan. Okay, I think God's telling me to do this or go talk to that person or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then, oftentimes we get as far as making a plan and we feel pretty good about ourselves that we made a plan, kind of like a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read the Bible every day. You know, yesterday morning when I read, the Lord really spoke to me through the scriptures. I want to do that every single day, and that survives until the next morning when something happens and we don't do it, right? So then you need to have the accountability of talking to another person, and you say, here's what I think God is doing in my life. I'm going to read scripture, a chapter a day, for the next week. Would you please hold me accountable to that? Call me the next day and say, how'd it go? Did you do it? And then you act on it and you proceed forward with it. So this is just a simple way to be able to kind of look at what is God doing in our lives and how are we going to respond to it. And this works as an individual following the Lord. This works as a church seeking to hear what God is saying and what direction He is calling us to walk in. Do I have one more after this? So when you have this moment in life where God is breaking in and you know that something is happening, there's some questions that you can ask yourself. What do you think God is saying about Himself? What do you think God is saying about you? And what do you think God is saying about your relationship with Him? So these are really important questions to ask that can help to uncover why what's happening in your life is a Kairos moment where God is breaking in. In the case of the wedding at Cana, what do you think God is saying about Himself? If the disciples ask themselves this question, what is God saying about Himself, right? God, will you wine? He take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. That He's going to turn norms on its head and lead us in awesomeness, right? What do you think God is saying about you? Well, we don't have any power to turn the water into wine. That's the Lord, right? God invites us into His work. So rather than asking God to bless whatever we think our grandiose ideas are, maybe we should learn to listen to the Lord, figure out where He is going, and go with Him. What do you think God is saying about your relationship with Him? Well, the disciples went away believing after they saw that. Change them. Change their understanding of who Jesus is. Change their understanding of their relationship with God. Because now here is a God who is moving and living and active and doing things powerfully and dynamically in their midst. And it's the same God that we worship and follow, who moves and lives and is active and wants to dynamically do things in our midst. So, when we have this Kairos moment, we have this choice, right? We can keep going like nothing happened, or we can repent and we can believe the gospel. So what time is it? My son is always asking me, Dad, what time is it? Because he's always trying to set his watch. I don't know how it gets unset, but he's always trying to set that thing. And it's a good question to ask ourselves. You know, that question, what time is it? Is it the time for green cloth on the altar, that Kronos time? What time is it? How is God breaking into your life? How is God speaking to you as an individual? What would it be like if we made life decisions, church decisions, ministry and direction decisions based on the Kairoses rather than the Chronoses in our lives? How would following God be different if we did that? If we could say, God is really moving and doing something there. We identify that as, you know, kind of a hot spot in the life of our church. How do we get on board with that? How do we see where God is moving and then align ourselves with that and apply our resources personally and corporately in that area, because that's where God wants to move and to work, rather than saying, well, this is what we think we want to do, so God, please bless it. There's a distinct difference there. And so the question isn't so much what we are doing and asking God to bless, it's asking what is God doing and how do we align so that we don't miss it. So let's look attentively for those moments in our lives and be ready to say yes to them, to respond like the disciples did, to believe in the gospel and what's being presented. In that way, we will be that new creation, that new man, that metanoia, transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we've got a few minutes here, and something that we did on the leadership retreat was we took a moment to just discuss where Kairos has been in our lives lately. Where has God broken in? What was a turning point in our life where we know that God broke in and course corrected us, and our life has been different since then? And so I know this is a little bit different for usual Sunday morning. This is more of a teaching than a sermon preaching in that respect. Those of you that were at the leadership retreat, would you please just try to gather some folks around you from the congregation who are here that maybe weren't at that, and talk about what your Kairos moment was that maybe you talked about at the retreat, and then invite the folks that are in your small group to, if they want to or can identify one, to share one of those Kairoses. Let's take just 5 minutes or so to do that. It's a blessing to hear what God is doing in our lives, and it's encouraging when we hear about what God's doing. So let's just take a few minutes. Those of you that are online, you could discuss this online. You could share, you know, a Kairos moment in the comments section and whatnot. Or if you're home, you could talk about this with your family. So don't be left out of the discussion. Let's just take 5 minutes and head into that. I didn't give them any warning that they were doing this either. So what's that? So Skip, Scott, Molly, who else was at the retreat? Dan. Okay. Mary was at the retreat. Okay. We were saying, how is leader? Why don't we stand together? We're going to affirm our faith now in the words of the Apostles' Creed.